Wait, we're ready. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to be in Williams Lake in church. And good to know that God is with us. Let's stand. We want to worship God. Thank God for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, we're so thankful, God, for Lord, for your mercy, for your loving kindness, God. Lord, for everything you've done, God. We ask you, Lord, to be with us today, God. Lord, to reach out and touch everyone, oh God, that is here today, God. And those that are online, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to minister, God. Lord, encourage and strengthen, oh God. You are the Almighty God. You're everything we have need of, God. We ask you, Lord, to be with us today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Read one scripture to start with. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Most unlucky chapter in the Bible. If you go by that 13 is an unlucky number. I don't. Because we're even going to read the 13th verse.
Amen.
They're double unlucky. But with God, it's the best. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. You may be seated. Probably three of the most important ingredients in a Christian's life in the day in which we live, especially in the day in which we live. We're facing a pandemic that's blown out of proportions, I believe. There's chaos, there's trials, temptations, there's problems. Everywhere you look, people are fearful. I was went into Rona this last Monday, and a friend of mine, Dan Barber, known him for years, was there, and we just stood outside and talked for a minute, and one of his friends committed suicide just the other day. Why? Because fearful. Afraid of what's happening. But I want to say this, that with Jesus, we have everything we have need of.
Right. Amen.
We look at the coronavirus and we say, you know, it's bad. If you get it comes around it, where somebody that has it, you can catch it. And if your health is not in good shape, you can die. Mm-hmm. Story of a bus driver. He was driving the bus, no symptoms at all. A lady got on the bus, went to pay her money into the slot. She sneezed right in front of him. Four days later, he was dead. The coronavirus is nothing to fool around with. But I heard a message this morning, and the message title was the Jesus virus. And I'm thinking, you know, that's what we need, is the Jesus virus. Because that virus will help us and infect our lives to the place that we won't worry about anything else.
Yes.
But I believe there's these three main ingredients that God has talks about in this one scripture is so important in the day in which we live, in the things that we are facing. Faith is, according to the dictionary, confidence, trust, belief. Strong or unshakable belief in something. A Christian's trust in God and in his actions and promises. Complete confidence and trust. That's what faith is. I know the biblical definition, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. I don't see Jesus.
I can't reach out and say, there's Jesus. So I need Jesus today, so I'm going to go here because that's where Jesus is.
I can't go over here and say, well, this little thing, this is Jesus. So now I can get a hold of Jesus when I need him. I'm going to have faith that that's what I need. But faith is, what did he say? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I don't see Jesus, but I know he's here.
Right.
I know he's available. I know that through the turmoil and the troubles of the day in which we live, that Christ is still with us. And if you read it, you'll find out by faith Enoch was translated. Why? Because he pleased God. Mm-hmm. By faith Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear and built an ark to the saving of his household. Mm-hmm. By faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses. We need faith in the day in which we live. We need faith that says, hey, God, in my time of trouble, in my time of problem, God, in the situations that I'm facing, God, I need you because you are the answer to my problems.
Right.
Amen.
One time the apostles came to Jesus in Luke chapter 17, verse number 15. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They realized that faith is something that we can have, but there's times when our faith diminishes. And sometimes in struggles, and sometimes in pandemics, and sometimes in chaos, we lose our faith. We have it. We know God's there. We know God's able because God's always been there for us. But sometimes it gets to the place that we need to have our faith increased. Mm-hmm. Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe,
Amen. But
help thou my unbelief.
Right.
There's times in our Christian walk that we get so overburdened by the problems and the trials and the situations of life where we need to cry out to God, God, I believe, but I need some help.
Right.
Yeah. I need to know where to go to get that faith that I so soon have lost. We're going to turn in to a story, Matthew chapter 8, stories of Jesus, the disciples. They're going to get into a boat, and they're going to cross over to the other side. When they get into the boat, it says in verse 23, and when he had entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye little faith? When he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. We can look at this story and kind of look at the disciples and say, well, you know, what's your problem? What's the problem? You know, you should have had faith to believe. Well, how many times do we, when we get into our problems and we get into our situations in life, and the first thing we do, Jesus, I need help. Mm-hmm. Was Jesus very far away? No. The Bible says he was sleeping in the boat. Yeah. He was right there with them. Mm-hmm. And if we could get one principle in our life and in our walk with God, is that no matter where you go, no matter what you go through in life, God's right there with you.
Right. Amen.
He has never left you. He has never forsaken you. And he never will.
Right. That's right.
We need to trust and believe that God's right there in the midst of my storm.
Amen.
But see, we're like Peter. Out there in the midst of the sea. Lord! If that's you out there, you just call me and I'll come to you. Yeah. Come, Peter. I don't know. Maybe he looked it around the other disciples that were in the boat with him and said, well, if you guys are staying in here, I'm getting out. And he put his foot over the side of the boat. Started walking on the water.
Amen.
And he was going, woo! Hey guys, look at me. Look at me. Everything went fine until he took his eyes off Jesus.
Right.
Everything was going along just perfect until he looked at the storm, the problem, the trial. The circumstances of life, the pandemic, whatever it was that is in that time, took his eyes off of Jesus.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, in the midst of the storm, when he had faith enough to step out of the boat and start to walk to Jesus, the problem caused him to lose his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And in our Christian walk with God, that's so true even in our day. We can lose faith in God when we take our eyes off of Jesus.
Right.
When we take our eyes off Jesus. In Acts chapter 27, Paul had a situation that arose in his life. Verse number 13 says, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had attained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after there arose against them a tempestuous wind called Rhicadon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps and undergirded the ship. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day we lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Storms come just like that into our lives. Verse 13 says, the winds blew softly. Everything looked good. We get up one morning, And everything seems to be just going great. Man, I've got it together with Jesus. We're going to make it. And somewhere during the day arises a storm. Something happens. Somebody says something that we didn't like. Maybe we get a phone call that we didn't want. Whatever it is, something happened to cause a storm in our life. And like most of us, we work hard to remedy the situation. We look at it and say, you know what? I can work this out myself. I've got it in me and I can do it. But the more we try, the worse it gets. Mm-hmm. And it says in verse 18 that they were exceedingly tossed. They got to the place where things just weren't looking good. And you think, man, can it get any worse? Is there any possibility that it could be worse than what I'm going through right now? Just a few hours ago, everything was fine. I was looking forward to the day, and I was happy, and I prayed and talked to God, and God told me that he loved me, and I just feel so good, and then now look at me, God. What do I do now? They started by, verse 19, throw everything they could overboard. Sometimes we try that in our life. Well, maybe I'm going through this problem because this is in my life, so I'll get rid of that. And then maybe I'm going through this problem that I'm facing because of this in my life, so I'm going to get rid of that. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for faith. God is looking for, put your trust in him. Rely on him. Because when we rely on God, God will always be there. Mm-hmm. So even in Paul's life, a man that had gone through so many things, it says that even in him, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I don't know what that'd been like. I can just picture, and we need to picture in our mind. Can you imagine them? And they're sitting there. Well, I guess it's over. I'm going to die. There's no hope. Hope's the second thing we're going to talk about. Bible says hope is like an anchor to the soul. Right. It's the thing that connects me with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And lets me know that no matter what I'm going through, that God's going to take me through it. Because I got hope in Jesus. Amen. Even Paul in his life got to the place that he felt like there was no hope left. Where do I turn now? What do I do now, God? Paul found the answer. He went and found a place to get down on his knees before God. Say, God, I did everything I could, but it didn't work out. I did everything according to what I felt we had to do, God. But now I turn it over to you. That's exactly what God wants. God wants us to turn it over to him.
Right.
And as Paul went down into the ship somewhere, began to pray. Oh, that's a lot like us, right? We get into a situation in life that we feel that we just can't get out of. I could name 2, 3, 4 different situations where I've got into that's the only thing that was left. You try everything. You try to do everything on your own. Mm-hmm. And say, hey, God, I can't do it anymore. I'm turning it over to you. And God says, okay, I'll show you what I can do. And God, it says, after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, we should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Can you imagine? Here you are in the midst of storm where there is absolutely no hope that you're going to be saved. Mm-hmm. And everybody with you, they're not even Christians. Everybody around you, they're all looking at the storm and saying, you know what? Nothing I can do. And Paul comes back and stands there and says, you know what, folks? I want you to be of good cheer. Can you imagine what those other sailors said to him? Excuse me, it's going to be fine. I know you thought there was no hope. I know you thought that everything was going wrong. But I got a hold of a God that controls the winds and the seas and the storms. And he told me, don't worry about it. You see, sometimes, and Paul was a man that was used mightily of God. Read the story of Acts, of his conversion and what God did for him and all the miracles and the things that went on. But even though all those things happened, we can still lose our faith in God when we don't keep our relationship with him.
Amen.
We have to keep that relationship. We could look at 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. Man, not going to go there. I don't have time. It takes a long time to go through it all. But Elijah was the man, prophet of God. And then just what? To let you know, it's not going to rain until I tell you it's going to rain. Miracle. They had a sore famine, it says, in the land. Mm-hmm. Not for 10 days, 20 days, 2 months. This went on for a few years. No rain. You want to talk about somebody? I've got a good relationship with the King of Kings. Look at me. I said it wasn't going to rain, and it didn't rain. Second miracle that happened in his life, God tells him in verse 4, he says, I want you to go over to the brook, and I'm going to feed you at the brook. Not only does God say, do what I said, it's not going to rain. He tells me to go over to the brook there, and I'm going to stay at the brook, and God's going to feed me. Wow, that's pretty good. Verse number 9. God tells him, once that brook dried up a little bit, he says, I want you to go into the city. And you're going to find a woman there. And you're going to tell her to make you a cake. And give it to you. He goes. Man, Elijah, man, you should be able to just about go and do anything. Trust me, folks, you can have all the faith you want, but when the storms come, sometimes that faith departs. Sometimes we fail to see the one that really has the faith, that ingredient, and we need that faith between me and God. Because in just a couple verses later, it says that son of that woman died. Now here she was. She had been in a situation where she felt that I'm going to make one more supper. We're going to eat and then we're going to starve to death. Along comes the prophet and says, you know what? You just make me the cake first. And then make it for your son and that. And everything is going to be fine. So she does. And God tells her to go get all the vessels you can get and get them all. And you're going to start to pour that little bit of oil that's left in that pocket, in that bucket, and you pour it into all those jars until they're all full. Wow, she's seen a miracle. You see, Elijah calls down. After the son dies, Elijah raises him from the dead. Chapter 18. God tells Elijah, he said, I want you to go and tell Ahab it's going to rain. And one of the servants come looking for Elijah and said, well, you know, you tell me that you want to speak to Ahab, but you know what? As soon as I leave to go get Ahab, you're going to take off. And Ahab's going to come back and he's going to be really mad at me. He said, no, don't worry about it. Ahab comes. Are you the one that's been troubling Israel? Are you the one that's causing all the problems, Elijah? No, not me. You are. You're the problem, Ahab. Ahab gets to the place where he calls and he said, well, what do you want? Well, we're going to have ourselves a little contest. I want you to go get the prophets of the grove and Baal, and I want you to meet me up on top of the mountain. Can you imagine the faith of Elijah as all these things are transpiring? He gets up on the top of the mountain, and he says, you guys go first. You take your calf and you put it on the altar and you put the fire around or the sticks around it and that, and you call down fire from heaven. And all day they were calling down fire. They were cutting themselves and they were screaming and hollering and they were doing all kinds of things. And all of a sudden Elijah gets up and says, okay, it's time of the evening sacrifice. You've had your chance. Let's see what God can do. He rebuilds the altar, puts everything on, goes and gets some water and pours water over top of the sacrifice to make sure that there's no question. And all he does is stand back and said, God, you show the people. You're the one that's in control. Whoosh! Fire came down, destroyed, took everything. Elijah says, you know what, folks? You don't let one of those prophets get away. They all need to die. Mm-hmm. So what does he do? They kill them all. He's living pretty high for the hog right now. He's looking at life and saying, you know what? I'm pretty good. But oh, in just a few short hours, what's going to happen? So he says to the servant, he says, servant, go out there and see if there's a cloud in the sky. Nope, there's nothing. We'll go look again. Nope, I don't see nothing. Go look again. Well, there's a little cloud over there. I put my hand up there and it covers. He said, you tell Ahab, let's get down to the city because there's a sound of abundance of rain going to happen. Now here he is. He's headed down to the city. He's on top of it. He should have had all the faith in the world that no matter what come his way, that he would have been able to say, hey, my God is able. My God will take care of the situation. But he gets down to the city. And the queen sends word. Elijah, you're high and riding pretty high on the hog right now. But I'm going to tell you right now that before this day's over, I'm going to have you. Mm-hmm. Where's his faith? The Bible says that he took off, fled for his life, when he should have had the faith that the God that caused the rain to come, the God that caused the woman's son to be healed, the God that called down fire from heaven, amen, going to take care of you also.
Amen.
But see, the problem, the trial, the situation in life, that storm clouds our vision,
right,
of what God wants to do.
Come on.
And that's the devil's trick, is to try to cloud your vision of what God wants to do in your life. God desires to have a move of the Holy Ghost like we've never had before.
Right.
But he wants people that'll step out in faith and say, hey, God, I'm here. I'm here. I'll take care of it. The answer is when faith begins to diminish, we need to go to the one that can bring the faith. Matthew 17:20 says this. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto thee, if ye had faith as of a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it should remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. If you want that type of relationship with God that brings the faith to the top, it says, nothing is impossible for God. Now the trial that I'm going through, God's going to take me through it. Because see, God's already gone through the trial. He's already been tomorrow. He knows exactly what's going to happen. We need to be like that man in Mark chapter 9 that said, Lord, I believe. You just got to help my unbelief a little bit. You just gotta help me along because I know that you're able.
Yeah, right.
I know that no matter what comes my way, that you're gonna make a way through it.
Yeah. Right.
I just need to have faith,
amen,
that you're gonna do it. Mm-hmm. We're facing the coronavirus. He's able.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to do anything. He's able, no matter what the problem. Read in Romans chapter 8. Talks about nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. There's no trial. There's no problem. There's no circumstance in life that I can't make my way through. because Jesus is on my side.
Amen, amen.
And in the day hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I believe. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, you're more than enough, Jesus. You're more than enough. Oh, yes, Jesus. It's impossible. Oh, nothing, Jesus, is it impossible.
Nothing is impossible.
Oh, yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus. You're all I need, Jesus. Jesus, Lord, you're everything I have need of, God. You're more than enough, God. We ask you, Lord, to go with us as we go away this time, God. Bring us back this afternoon, God, with the desire to reach out to you in a special way, God. Touch and anoint, oh God, each and every one that has heard this message today, God. Oh, that we may build our faith in you, God, and our trust in you, God. Keep your hand upon us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. See you this afternoon at 2:00 in church or online.